What can we expect when we journey into the wilderness? You know, those dark nights of our soul, when we can hardly raise up our head or even get out of bed. Does God leave us alone through our suffering and then lift us out when he thinks we've had enough? Or does our loving God come along beside of us and comfort us and teach us new things as we journey through the wilderness? Does he offer us a brand new beginning after we come out of such a dark place? I'd like for you to meet Chris. Chris entered the wilderness when he was 17 years old, and he probably had no idea that he was going into a wilderness or that his journey would last for a very long time. He entered this dark, desolate place by his own decision, thinking he was old enough to make his own choices. He didn't want to follow any rules or do anything his parents said. It was a typical teenage rebellion. Not only that, he was struggling deeply, trying to win the love of a parent that he had had a conflict with. He wanted to do everything in his own strength, and any suggestion of God was met with deaf ears, at least for a little while. Now I'd like you to meet Julie. Julie entered her first wilderness experience as a really young adult, and her journey there lasted for years. It was the action of another person that led her into the dark place, and it seemed like it took her forever to sort it all out, to make sense of what had happened to her, and to forgive the person. She would tell you today that she did not think God was anywhere near her during this dark, dark time. And there were times she actually wanted to give up. That journey for her was horrible. And actually, she came out and had a few more wanderings until she finally came out as a totally different person. In his mid-40s, Bob took a risk, and he opened up his own company, a lifelong dream. And for a while, everything was going great, and he could buy lavish things for his family. But suddenly, he found himself in a wilderness, and late notices kept coming in, and calls on his phone, and he was beginning to ask himself questions. What's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Do I give up on my dream? With a wife and a child to support, things began to get very, very stressful. Even his health was beginning to suffer. He was wondering why God was not answering his prayers. And finally, there's Carrie. Oh, Carrie is bold and boastful. She has a lot of pride. She has a fantastic job. She's living the good life, a job in the business world. And she doesn't go to church. Although her parents raised her in the church as a child and a teenager, there has been every attempt to pull her back, and she will not go. But suddenly, with all this great stuff happening in her life, she finds herself walking in a desert. And she's beginning to consult the God that she forgot about a long time. Why me? Why are you choosing me? What the heck? That's not the word she used. What the heck are you doing with my life? But God knows exactly what he's doing with her life because he has a plan and he has not revealed it yet. But she cannot live it out until she has walked in the wilderness with God for a while. Just the two of them. The entrance to the wilderness is just wide enough for Carrie and for God, for you and God too. Well, wait a minute. God has a plan for her, and it involves ministry. Oh my gosh, did I say ministry? Oh yes. God is going to take her and use everything she has ever done, and he's going to send her to another country to use all of that education to teach young men and women in Africa and make sure that they have a fantastic education. But she cannot take that pride with her. She has to walk with Jesus for a while. According to Reverend Rob Renfro, who wrote the book, A Way Through the Wilderness, Growing in Faith When Life is Hard, there are four ways that you can get into a wilderness experience. Number one, you get in by your own actions, like Chris. Number two, by the actions of others, like Julie, or kind of by the natural flow of life, like Bob. Or you can be taken in by God for a special purpose, like Carrie. By the way, Rob was a pastor here, and he's now pastor at the Woodlands United Methodist Church. You need to get one of these books. If you don't want to read it or think it's not for you, get one for a friend. So I think it's safe to say that all of us, from Bible times all the way down to today, have entered or will enter a wilderness experience, also called a desert or a wasteland. And although we don't raise our hands, send me God, I want to go, all of us are going to go at some time or another. It's a path we all have to follow, and we cannot avoid them. It's not a joyful time. It's a dark time when we can feel alone, totally away from God, and we can feel so thirsty, almost like we're going through a spiritual drought. I know that you all have been here for a long time, and you have been through wildernesses or seen people who have been through wildernesses, but it can be an illness, a death, a divorce, a retirement, a wayward child, homelessness, addictions, divorce, immaturity, or a special call of God on your life. There are hundreds of ways to enter the wilderness. King David was one that had many wilderness experiences. He wrote in Psalm 38:9-10, "All my longings lie open before you, O God. My sign is not hidden from you." And then in Psalm 28, verses 1 and 2, David cries out with his hands up in the air, "To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down into the pit. Hear my cry for help as I lift up my hands to your most holy place." David cried out and wrote out whenever he was in the wilderness. The prophet Elijah had just had a great victory with the prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he hightailed it as fast as he could out into the desert and hid under a broom tree. Listen to what he said. He said, "I have had enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Well, it was there that Elijah began to learn a lot of things. He didn't even want to live. He totally wanted to give up. Remember also, Jesus was led out into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights where he was tempted by the devil. So you see Old and New Testament characters, lots of them going through desert experiences. Elijah's cry, "I have had enough," seems like the cry that we all yell out whenever we're in a deep desert experience. But after Elijah cried out to God, "Take my life, go ahead and take it," an angel appeared and said, "Take and eat." You see, God was there comforting him. He didn't know it, but God was getting ready to do something new with him. God always hears our cries when we are in a desolate place. And no matter what we think or feel like Care or Julie did, God is there loving us, comforting us, helping us, and he has a plan to make us a different person. In our scripture today, you read about or heard about the very first wilderness experience. After Adam and Eve left the garden, they entered a wilderness. That's where Adam had to till the ground by the sweat of his brow, and there were thorns and thistles there. He could not go back in the garden because there was an angel there with a sword going back and forth. That was his reality. But you know what? Even though they sinned, God spoke to them. He looked for them, he found them, he spoke to them, and he dealt with their sin, had them leave the garden, and hear this: the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins, and he clothed them. He never left them. He never left them, nor will he leave you. God will do the very same thing for us while we are in the wilderness. Now, as I was studying, I learned that there are some miracles you can expect to happen while you're in the wilderness, and I found that very interesting. The first one was, you're going to realize while you are in the wilderness that God loves us unconditionally and he's going to deliver us from bondage. He's going to use the wilderness experiences to refine us and to build our character and help us to be the person he wants us to be. There are no sins that we have committed that God can't forgive. And there aren't any problems so big that God can't solve. That's what Julie actually learned in time, that she could not handle all this on her own. And you know what she did? She went to a church, she fell down on her knees, she gave her life to Christ, and she will tell you, the moment that she got up from her knees and walked out of that church, things were totally different. She knows now, looking back, that God was with her and that he did help her and that she is loved unconditionally and she will do what he has asked until he closes her eyes. Another one is that we are going to be fed on the manna of God's word. I love what I read from D.W. Elkstan. He said, when we are in the wilderness, God begins to feed us on the meat of his word, and the more time we spend studying the word, the more we want to know him. Then it's the more we want to know him, the more our soul is nourished, the more our inner person is strengthened, and that gives us grace to traverse this long desert path we're in. If you recall, that is exactly how Jesus dealt with the devil in the wilderness. Well, that's how Chris found his way out. Nothing made him happy. Everything he tried failed. Finally, he picked up a Bible and read it earnestly. He started asking questions and getting answers. He asked for forgiveness and the opportunity to start all over again. He actually wrote the Ephesians scripture on his bathroom mirror, so every time he went in there, he would recite it. You know the one about putting on the armor of God? He knew he had to do battle if he was going to come out of this a different person. And guess what? He did. Two of the four have come out of the desert, and they are blooming in ways you can't imagine. Two of them are still in, but they are working with God. Their faith is being strengthened. They're beginning a new relationship with God, and they're hoping that God will answer their prayers. They know He's there. It's just a tough time. A couple more things you need to know when you're in the wilderness. If you are in the wilderness, you have to know that God is going to be with you. Go back to the story of Moses. He led them during the day with a pillar of cloud and at night with a pillar of fire. He fed them quail and manna. He gave them fresh water to drink. God will take care of you. Don't we have a hymn that says that? The second thing, if you remain in the wilderness, you will die. Let me say it another way. If you don't exit the desert, you're going to die in the desert. I once knew a woman who lost her parents very close together, and she could not come out of the desert. I think she's still sitting under a cactus someplace in the hot sand. No amount of begging, pleading, scripture, devotional books, counselors, nothing would pull her out. I'm almost beginning to think she had pity there and she liked it there. But if you do not exit the wilderness when God is ready for you to come out, you will die there. So, John the Baptist, he actually called the people out of the wilderness, those who studied Judaism, and he stripped them of what they knew and filled them back up again. Paul was sent out to the desert, 3 years in the Arabian desert, and there he was stripped of everything, and then look what he did. And I'll end with this. The wilderness is a place of new beginnings. New beginnings. In the 40-year stay in the wilderness, Joshua led the people across into the promised land. Hosea led the children of Israel through the wilderness to woo the nation back to him. After the Jews had been in exile in Babylon, the prophet spoke of a way, a pathway in the wilderness so that God's people could return home. John the Baptist marked a brand new beginning for Israel by introducing them to the long-awaited Messiah. And the Apostle Paul, he only began his ministry after he spent considerable time in the wilderness. But oh my goodness, did he have a new beginning or what? If you're living in the wilderness today, you can have hope because your God is doing a transforming work in your life. He's going to make you more like Jesus so that you can come out of the wilderness as a choice servant of His by being the hands and the feet, and the eyes, and the ears of the world. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we are so grateful that you never leave us when we're going through dark times. It doesn't feel like you're there sometimes, but you are doing your work, refining us, building our character, feeding us on your word so that when you are ready for us to leave, we will be different people. God, when we see somebody in a wilderness, help us always to reach out our hands to them and help them. Let us remind them that there are miracles that actually happen in the wilderness. Right now, we pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand?